There is a very good reason for it. A very, very good reason for it. His mum is having open heart surgery. We don't call it open heart surgery anymore, do we? I don't think we do. But that's why Hack Sawyer isn't there, because his mum's taken suddenly ill and he's gone back home to see her. The main event was going to be Sawyer and Rocky Johnson, previous tag team champs, belts are now held up, facing, I think, Buddy Rose and Rip Oliver. So they need a new main event. So what they could do, seeing as they're there, is put Rocky Johnson in with Rip Oliver, a non-title match maybe, and then say if Rocky Johnson wins, he's going to be able to challenge Rip Oliver, which he so desperately wants. Or you could put, I don't know, someone like Chris Adams. He's there. No, why don't they put, someone like, let's see, Rocky Johnson again, because he's there. Because he's interviewed later on, so we know he's there. Against Buddy Rose. Let's do that. Let's have a real blood fest there, and really, and a feud. That'd be great. But no. They don't do either of those. They bring back a wrestler who has not been in the Portland area, for this is Portland Wrestling. You know it would be. It's from the 17th of July, 1982. And what they've done is they've brought back Steve Pardee. Yes, Steve Pardee. You know, Steve Pardee. No, I didn't know. I mean, I'm not a great aficionado of Portland wrestling, although I had just bought a book. Yeah, you see, Boris is, you know, Boris from Sunday Night's Main Event, Marvellous, has really got me interested in Portland wrestling. So I just bought a book about it. So I'm going to be reading about it and boring the pants off you if I'm not doing that already. Yeah, they brought back Steve Pardee to fight Rip Oliver. Why don't you bring Rocky Johnson in? I mean, maybe Steve Pardee is incredibly popular. But I just don't know. You've also got Stephen Regal. Not that one. Not that Steve Regal. You know, Steve Regal, who was so popular, he's got, I mean, he must have gone to a different territory. Because he was only there, he was there recently. And they mention him this week. So where is he? Is he injured? I don't know. But there are loads of people they could choose. Mainly Rocky Johnson, though, because he's there. But they bring Steve Pardee in. For a 2 out of 3 falls match, you know, their main event, with Rip Oliver, the champion. He's not going to get the belt, is he? Why would you do that? Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe the fans absolutely love him and it's not communicating itself to me. Because they didn't seem really into this match. But I am really into Portland wrestling of this period. And the first match we get is Tommy Rogers versus Dizzy Hogan. Dizzy Hogan looks bigger. You know, he's Brutus. Brutai! The Bobber Beefcake. The Bobber Beefcake. No. The Barber Beefcake. Yes. The Bobber Popper Beefcake. No. The Barber Beefcake. And he's not doing some cutting and strutting here. Cutting and strutting. There's no G's on those words. No. Just the apostrophe. No G's. No G's required. Which is the follow-up to No Jacket Required that Phil Collins did. I wouldn't have heard it because it's Phil Collins. Anyway, he's doing a gimmick at the moment where he is Hulk Hogan's brother. So that allows Frank Bonomer, who is the he's a commentator, sole commentator, color man. He does the introductions, he gets the segments, he introduces the sponsors, the advertisers, one of whom is there in person. Now, he does everything. And, by the way, he's going to Fremont for a bit of a holiday at the weekend. It's nice, isn't it? Don't really need to know that, Frank, but fair enough. He always talks about maybe Hulk Hogan, famous from playing Thunderlips in the Rocky movie, Rocky 3, of course. Maybe he'll be coming to Portland. He's actually said in previous weeks, Hulk Hogan will be coming to Portland. I tend to think, well, he's not here yet, is he? So I don't know whether that's just something, an aspiration that he said he will be. And they really need to follow up on this. Anyway, back in the ring, it's really boring. There's a Dizzy Hogan armbar. Wrist lock takedown first, and then an armbar. It's It's not worked by anyone. They're just sitting in it. And it and then there's a bit of action. We're back to the armbar. Then Tommy Rogers gets the upper hand. Well, the upper arm, because it's another armbar for ages. At this point, I was delighted to hear that Frank was going to Fremont, because it took my mind away from that wrestling. Because in the ring, we've now got a Dizzy Hogan headlock. Back to a Tommy Rogers armbar. He does add some knees to it. And then there's an elbow to the back of the head. Quite nasty, actually. The Hogan Hammer, it's called. Big suplex, starting to pick up now by Hogan for a long two count. And then Frank talking about someone writing a book. The person who's written it is not very complimentary to Buddy Rose. Or indeed to him. At least he spelled my name right. Blimey, I don't know what this book is. I was looking for it afterwards, you know. Wonder what it is. Anyway, we've got a Rogers drop kick and then that Dizzy Hogan full Nelson, which looks good, you know, for the win. It wasn't very good, though. Not at all. Now, Frank he's delighted to tell us this. It's the little things that really count. His daughter, he's just sent his daughter away. Not to a different place or country or anything. In the arena, just sent her off to find a pen for him. And he's opened the mail, fan mail, and there's a Portland pen in it. Synchronicity. He's delighted to tell us. I'm not interested. Now, Don Owen, promoter, almost forgets Mike Miller's name. That wouldn't be so bad, but he's announcing him at the time. And he'll be fighting Gentleman Chris Adams. Not called the Gentleman yet. It's the early days for Chris. And Miller kind of looks at Don Owen. Well, we can't see his face, but he turns around and the body language is as if to say, did you nearly forget my name then, Don? He just remembers it in time. There's a snapmare in this from Miller, a headlock. Then Chris Adams whips him into the corner and Miller steps through the ropes or puts his head through the ropes because he's a bit of a wily customer. Is that Miller or Mike? Miller, him. Then you get an elbow drop to the back, or several actually, a headlock, which has not worked. They're just sitting it. Yeah. Meanwhile, Frank's talking about a fella who fixes up his apartment who's got a great name that sounds like something out of Hogan's Heroes. Well, I mean, you might as well talk about it because there's nothing happening in the ring, is there? Then there's a backdrop and that super kick. Does he call it the quick stick super kick? Quickity click super kick. I don't know. I forget. So he hits that. That's not the end of it, though. There's a leg drop. And then he goes up to the top and hits a high cross body. You could have just finished it with the super kick. I mean, you can 30 years later. 82, 1990, 2002. Yeah, 40 years later even. So it was not great, to be honest. And here's Buddy with his softball team. Now, he's brought them in to sit and watch the wrestling. He's talking about what a great player he is. He brings some of them to talk to Frank. And he tells us, and he's holding two rather cheap-looking trophies, to be honest. And he says that he calls them his friends. They do seem to be his friends. They're chanting his name. I don't know if he's paid them off or said, you get an extra can of beer if you do that, you know. But he says that they've won the championship in 1 week. God, the softball season's not very long over in America, is it? Blimey. Not long at all. Can win it in a week. But then a lot of teams must be tied at the top. I mean, you must have about 15 teams who have won it. Strange, isn't it? He then mentions Dr. D, inevitably, because he's not interested in him, but he keeps mentioning him. And now you've been waiting for it, Follocks. You've been waiting for it. It's Rip Oliver versus Steve Pardee. Yes, Steve Pardee. So, Pardee arm drags Rip Oliver and then celebrates. Maybe he thinks, I won't have much to celebrate here. I might as well. I'm not going over, am I? Here's a spoiler alert. He does. Yeah, he does win. Let me tell you how. Now, Frank tells us there's going to be a lot happening in Portland Wrestling in the future. He can't say what it is, but it almost sounds like he doesn't know what it is. You know, when people say, I can't tell you what it is, if I had to tell you, I'd have to kill you. That kind of teasing thing. But it does sound the way he does it, like he's not been told. There'll be a lot coming up, but I am not party to that information, so I shouldn't really have mentioned it. I can't really tell you, you see. So, he says that someone has written to him to say that he enjoys talking about Bourne and Rose. He explains why he does, which is quite sweet. Well, he enjoys talking about them because they're the major heels. Well, Bourne isn't, but he is. He's a tweener, isn't he, in a way? Back in the ring, Pardee pulls on the arm. Rip Oliver sells it well, you know. It's a big feature of that arm work in the early going, but actually, they work with it. Quite a lot of mat work. It's all right, you know. Not bad at all. There's a hammerlock with the leg on Rip Oliver's arm. And it's all rather good. Then there's an Oliver punch to the ribs with maybe that spike he does. He's got his thumb taped, Frank tells us. He started to do that again. So maybe he's punched with a spike. I like that. I like that. I like that. That interesting explanation. I like that a lot. Suddenly, so he gets out of the hole by that. And there's a sudden Pardee roll up and he gets the first pin. Here comes Rocky. Sunglasses on. He says the belts are held up. He wants Hack back. Not because that means that his mum's all right. Sure, he does want his mum to be okay. But he wants to get it. He wants him back and his head together. Because they've got work to do. He doesn't say in the interview, I don't think. I watched it twice. I don't think he says, I hope your mother's okay. It's a serious thing, you know. I really hope she's okay. I don't think he says it. He basically says, I want you back. With your head in the right place. All right. I mean, he does sort of say, you know, this is what's happened. He's gone for his mum because his mum's not well. But he never says, I'm really worried about you, brother. We are tag team champions after all. Or the belts have been held up, but really worry about you, brother. No. It's weird, isn't it? Now, back in the ring, we've got a bear hug by Oliver, which has worked nicely. Oliver then throws him out twice, I think. Squares up to referee Sandy Barr. He's done that kind of, I've balled my fist and I may think of using it. You can always ball your fist and walk around like that if you want. And then you can think of using it. Police might stop you, but you never know. Then he go back to the bear hug from Oliver. Pardee misses a drop kick. Oliver hits the backbreaker, gets the pin. Now it's one apiece. It usually is, isn't it? Here's gentleman Chris Adams. Not calling him gentleman yet, but he's Chris Adams. He bigs up all the support, wants to challenge anyone, names several people, including Steve Regal, I think. He mentions him, he mentions Luthez. He doesn't really mention Luthez. He mentions Mick McManus, doesn't mention him. But he'll fight anyone. Even someone who's coming off the street. I'll beat him up as well. Doesn't say that either. Anyway, back in the ring, we've got an elbow to the shoulder from Pardee, a hammerlock, and a chant of, because he's hammerlocking the leg, a chant of, break it, break it. My word. Oliver, to get out of there, gets a spike. He does the spike with the taped thumb, and there's a DQ. Pardee has won. In his first appearance in Portland for ages, he's won. It's a tainted victory, and it's a boring match, but he won. Well done. Now, here are the army, and it's not really the army, it's just, I mean, the local recruiting centre is a bit empty, I must say, because it's only Oliver and Rose now. He's meeting Dr. D in 3 days, not to go for a coffee, not to look at their toy soldier collection, to fight. And it won't be on TV, because last time it was bloody, and apparently they got a lot of complaints. So, it's supposed to be a family show, you see, so it won't be on TV. And he said that Rip won't be there. And Rip kind of ruins this because it's set up by Buddy Rose. I don't need Rip there because Dr. D hasn't got anybody in his corner. Nobody likes him. He hasn't got anybody to help him. So I've said, and I've signed a contract, and Rip signed this contract as well. I've had it drawn up. Rip signed it that he won't be going anywhere near the ring. I'll do this on my own. Isn't that right, Rip? Yeah, well, I don't interfere in your matches anyway. No, it's a contract, shouts Buddy Rose. Yeah, well, I don't interfere anyway, do I? No, it's the contract thing, remember? Yeah, but I've never really... didn't really need a contract, did you? We just talked about a contract, Rip. And there's your week for 1982, 17th of July. I aren't half enjoying it. Not always for the wrestling. There are other things I like as well, as you know. The wrestling's warm and welcoming and a little bit hokey, but it is 1982. And if you like this as much as I do, go and have a look at it on YouTube, because they're all on YouTube, folks. And do listen to this podcast, because these people at SNME Radio are blooming great, and I'm glad to be working with them. Now, where's my pen? Oh, I've got a Portland Wrestling one. Oh, ta-ta.